Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A wild weekend of football. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, some news over the weekend on the Tennessee front. They destroy Akron 63-6, the final score. But College Game Day coming to Knoxville, Tennessee this upcoming weekend for Tennessee and Florida. So Tennessee moves up to number 11 in the AP poll, just outside of the top 10. And they've got College Game Day coming to town. I thought it was going to lose a little bit of luster. Florida was struggling with South Florida for a little while, but they find a way to hang on and win. And you'll have a 2-1 Florida team against an undefeated Tennessee team coming up on Saturday. We'll have all week to really break down and dissect that matchup, but should be a pretty cool scene with College Game Day in town coming up in Knoxville on Saturday, and I'm interested to see how the Vols handle that.
It's a really interesting week for me in terms of people like you, Tennessee fans. I feel like you got to feel really good about this game, this matchup. Well, you're home. It's night. That place is going to be absolutely electric, and the Vols are better. The Vols are better than the Gators. The line says it.
Well, that's fine. They've been better than the Gators a few times during this stretch here. It hadn't gone well for them.
Well, that's, you know, that's an interesting point you bring up. What jumps out to you in terms of clearly, like, I remember, was it Pruitt's? Yeah, it would have been actually Pruitt's first year, right?
Yeah.
The Gators weren't very good, and that was expected to be at least a good game, and a lot of people thought Tennessee would win, and then it was just horrific. But that still wasn't, it was Pruitt's first team. They were okay. I'm trying to think what stands out in terms of Tennessee was clearly the better team and still lost to Florida.
Well, I mean, last year Florida went, what'd they go, 4-8 or whatever they went?
Well, that is true. The thing is, we didn't really know, like, at the time of the game. You know, that's what's interesting, because you're right. Like, in retrospect, looking at last year, you're like, how the heck did you play that poorly against them and lose 38 to 14?
I think the 15 game is the game on the road where had it won, and then they gave up a 4th-and-35 or whatever it was and lost the game. I mean,
yes.
I think back to the game they lost to Treon Harris. It was like 10-9, the final score, and Will Muschamp was dancing around, pointing up at the stadium, all that other stuff. They were better in Florida that game. I mean,
yeah,
they've been better a few times. It hadn't gone well.
Those early Butch teams, yeah, should have had a couple. Then he gets them, and you know, that was, I'm trying to think. There have not been a lot of, you know, ranked against ranked in the recent history of the series. Actually, well, it was 2 years in a row, 16 and 17. Of course, 16 game. 21-3 Florida. 21-3 Florida. Tennessee just dominant second half. You know, Juwan Jennings out there. Oh man. That was crazy. Just the atmosphere was crazy. And that team was going to go to Atlanta, and we won't recount the rest of that season. But big win. That's ranked against ranked. And then the next year was another beauty. Felipe Franks, Joe Milton, like, you know, 70 yards in the air to win that sucker.
But it was great.
That was also the Butch, you know, first and goal at the 1. Let's go shotgun and, like, completely botch this and get penalties and still have, like, 6 plays to botch it and still botch it. That's the last time both of these teams were ranked entering this game.
Yeah, it hasn't happened very often over the last 15, 20 years. I mean, it used to be kind of the standard game in the SEC in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, and it certainly has not been that in a long time. And I mean, look, on FanDuel, Tennessee's a 9.5-point favorite. They're going to be picked by most people to win this game. It is interesting, though, just the history of this rivalry. And we've talked about it. Like, you know, Josh Heupel's been around for one of these. A lot of these players, they don't care what happened between Tennessee and Florida in 2009. But I can guarantee you, starting today at Josh Heupel's press conference, they're going to get a whole lot of questions about, well, Florida's won 16 in the last 17, Coach. What do you think about all that? And that's just going to be a talking point all week. And, you know, sometimes teams respond to that well. Sometimes they don't. And I'm interested to see how this Tennessee team handles that. With as much experience as they have, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, with their quarterback and with their wide receivers, I think they should handle it well. But we'll see. And also, we haven't even gotten this, the injury front. Jabari Small left the game on Saturday, didn't come back. Cedric Tillman left the game at the half as well, did not come back. How in doubt are their statuses heading into this game? Josh Heupel didn't seem like he was overly concerned on Saturday, but you never know. They need Cedric Tillman in this game. I will definitely stand by that.
Yeah, I like how Jalen Wright's running the ball. So, and look, if it's Dylan Sampson, Wright and Sampson, then I think you can still get done what you need to get done, leaning heavily on Wright. But Tillman, that would be a big loss. Jalen Hyatt was the star the other night, and they were lining him outside and he looks good. He looks really good. And obviously, I think Brew McCoy didn't have a big night, but they feel good about him. That would be a big who the heck is stepping up if Tillman can't go. I don't love that Tillman tweeted dirty yesterday. Could mean so many things. I mean, he could be talking about, like, the cafeteria and the dorm. But,
he's talking about the game. My question when I saw that tweet was, are you talking about that just watching it back, or are you talking about that because
you
you're
have
hurt
an issue
and you're out? Yeah.
Exactly. Are you talking about that because you found something out that's not good? Or, yeah, like the team, you're going through the film and you're just like, oh, God, look at that dirty play. I don't know. It's cryptic and it doesn't seem. Yeah, you can read into those things, but it was an easy one to read into. Like, that may not be good for the Vols.
Yeah, and look, I still contend they're going to need him, and they're going to need him to play well on Saturday to win this game. Like, we got people on the text line right now just thinking Tennessee's going to crush Florida, including a lot of Florida fans saying that on the text line.
Oh,
I don't know, man. Like, it's just there's something about that game. Like, it's kind of like Tennessee Kentucky. No matter how good Kentucky is, I always kind of feel like Tennessee's going to win.
Listen, it's a triangle. Yeah. Okay, it's a triangle. Kentucky beats Florida. Florida beats Tennessee.
Well, I mean, Kentucky's beat Florida three times in the last 45 years.
Listen, so, I'm not. When was Tennessee football relevant?
do they beat Florida a lot? They have won 3 out of 5 though.
They have. All right. What was your question?
I just said, when was Tennessee relevant?
Ever, you mean?
Like, so long ago.
I mean, they're number 11 in the country right now.
Well, right now, but I mean, other than this year is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I like this. I say we turn this
into a
Tennessee.
Listen, it's kind of like Bears fans. It's kind of like Bears fans, Robbie. Tennessee fans are like Bears fans. You just relive the glory days.
And what glory days have the Bears had?
And you wore a Bears jersey last night.
Technically, it wasn't a jersey.
But you wore Bears paraphernalia. Garb. Yeah.
Listen, I also went to bed before halftime.
Well, probably good.
All right. I want to see Ryan in some Kentucky gear soon.
Yeah.
It's only fair. So go back through all this domination. So, yes, you mentioned the two games, 14 and 15. But before that, you got Urban and you got Dooley. Like most years, it was Florida. Really highly ranked, number 6, number 3, number 4, number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee unranked or at least lower ranked. Like, that stretch of domination made sense, right?
Sure.
Added up most of those years.
I mean, there were some Jim McElwain teams where just like, okay, this Florida team's not that good. But Tennessee wasn't either.
Well,
that was a problem.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, McElwain would be, like 15 was McElwain for sure, right?
Yes.
14? Was McElwain there yet in 14?
That
was Muschamp's last year. Yeah. I mean, like, they've had a – Yeah, that's the thing is, they've been underwhelming too. I mean, that program has been spinning its wheels and trying to find past glory and things like that. It's not nearly as long ago as Tennessee, but still, even in that stretch, they know they can count on winning this game. Yeah, that's got to end this year.
We talked about that before the season. Like you're at home. You've got a quarterback that, by the way, Peter Burns tweeted this out the other day. It is amazing. Since Hendon Hooker became the starter at Tennessee, he's thrown 42 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
My goodness.
42 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That got, by the way, I didn't know that Virginia Tech Twitter was a big thing. That got Virginia Tech Twitter rolling the other day.
Really?
When Peter Burns tweeted that out.
What did Virginia Tech Twitter say?
They want to I saw one guy said he wanted to slap Justin Fuente on that.
Okay, I thought like they were like ripping Hooker.
I was like, well, what are you ripping about 42 touchdowns and two picks?
Right. Or just like, oh, well, he stunk in Blacksburg.
Right. Well, right.
That's the thing. He didn't get enough of a look, I don't think.
The key to the game is, like, Tennessee is going to put up some points on Florida. I think that goes without saying. Can they contain Anthony Richardson? Like, that really is the question. Anthony Richardson, he looked really good against Utah, quite frankly. He's not looked very good the last couple of weeks, but you can see the ability that he's got. He can run the ball, but, you know, just his general playmaking ability, if you're Tennessee, can you keep him from taking over the game? That's what the game comes down to me.
I agree. Because it would take him having just one of those magical nights, I think, for them to have a chance to win this game. And he's been – look, in the last 2 weeks, at times he looks good, for sure, but he also is very much mistake-prone. You got to get him – you got to get a mistake out of him in this game. And I think if you get one – you're in good shape. Just three quarterbacks this week of high interest. You know, Hooker still, I think, has not been his absolute best.
I agree.
Can he be that? Like you said, Anthony Richardson, don't let him take over the game. And then the third quarterback, of course, is Peyton Manning going to show up and watch the game in the stands?
I hope he does, and I'm rooting for Florida.
Yes. I
love it. Just coming, taking shots right on a Monday on this. This is going to get good.
Just taking Peyton Manning. They ought to like, Peyton, we love you, but you're not allowed in on Saturday, man. Just stay away. Like, what's going to really be bad is when, like, Peyton Manning is the guest picker coming up on Saturday on game day. He's going to be like, no, go home. Stay away.
What if he's the guest picker, but then he leaves? Is that okay?
He's not going to leave, though.
Yeah. Whew, man.
Peyton, we will put you up in a hotel. You can watch it there. You're not allowed in the stadium.
Yeah.
I liked Ubbin's idea, though. Dolly Parton for the guest
love
picker.
Love that.
Come on. Make
he's
it happen.
He's picking Florida.
Who has been the guest picker in the past when they've been at game day? So they haven't been at game day.
It's been a while. I don't know. They haven't been in Knoxville in a long time.
Yeah, so it's been 6 years since they've been there, which is wild on its own, you know?
Yeah.
You don't remember past guest pickers for the
– No.
Come on, man. What kind of a Tennessee fan are you? Text line, help us out.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into a big win for Vanderbilt over the weekend as well, including a quarterback switch for Vandy. Really interesting stuff on Saturday against Northern Illinois. What does it mean as they move forward? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some VIP tickets to give away to Oktoberfest here in Nashville coming up on Sunday, October 9th. And you got access to the VIP area as well. Be caller number 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of VIP tickets to Nashville's Oktoberfest coming up on Sunday, October 9th. 615-737-1025. Joe, a big win for Vanderbilt over the weekend. They win 38-28 on the road at Northern Illinois. They improved to 3-1 on the season, so the preseason win total of 2.5. Just go ahead and check that off.
See ya.
For Vanderbilt, they are over on the preseason win total already before conference play begins. And the story of the day was A.J. Swan. Vanderbilt, Clark Lee makes a change at quarterback. A.J. Swan, the starter for Vanderbilt on Saturday against Northern Illinois, and he looked great in that game. He was all over the place, 4 touchdown passes for A.J. Swan. Will Shepard looked very good as well, 10 catches, over 170 yards receiving, and 2 touchdowns as well. What did you make of that move for Clark Lee and Vanderbilt to make the quarterback switch? And obviously it worked for Vanderbilt in that game. What do you think it means as the doors move forward here? Pretty impressive stuff from A.J. Swan on Saturday.
Yeah, he was very good. It was a big surprise. Clark Lee said repeatedly last week, you know, this is Mike Wright's job. He was on this program talking about that. And said after the game that it was after Wednesday's practice that he decided to make the switch. That, I honestly can't remember that happening. I can't remember, Now, I can remember open still like, okay, it's an open competition, not sure, game time, take it all the way through the end of the week, splitting reps, stuff like that. I can't recall because, you know, when you get to the Wednesday practice, I mean, your Thursday practice is basically your, you know, it's your last one of consequence. And a lot of schools, it's more like walkthrough on the Thursday practice anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Friday is your, like, I mean, that's not a practice day. I can't remember a situation like that where you just decide, if that's what it is, just as simple as, okay, the reps are normal and Mike Wright's getting the reps, and then, nope, we're switching after that practice. I've never heard of that, honestly. So it's a gutsy move. It's a high-risk move, and it's a surprising move because of how much they put into Mike Wright to be the quarterback this year. And they basically decided during spring ball, and I think that they were already leaning that way, but spring ball kind of reinforced this is Mike Wright's team. And no, now it isn't. Just like that, three games, two of which he played extremely well in.
Yeah.
One of which he did not play well. He made big mistakes, and they got nothing on the passing game. I tell you what, I saw enough of A.J. Swan in the preseason to think he's very talented, also that he would make a ton of mistakes as a true freshman quarterback, and he may yet do that, but you can't. There's nothing
awesome
you can argue with on how he played Saturday or how he has looked throwing the ball Saturday and going back to the, you know, the mop-up time against Wake Forest. He's a gifted QB.
He looked awesome on Saturday, and it's, you know, I had the Rob Rand on Friday talking about Vanderbilt fans need to calm down, and it's Mike Wright's team and all that stuff. That aged well.
Yeah.
That lasted a day.
I absolutely subscribed to your Rob Rant. 100%.
Clark Lee did not.
Yeah,
now he was AJ like, Swan is the starting quarterback
on your Rob Rant
for Vanderbilt. The one thing that stood out to me, and not that he's been bad so far, but you've watched the game and even the Hawaii game. Like, Will Shepard had two touchdowns in the game, and I thought to myself, well, I know they're running the ball for 7,000 yards in that game, but they got in the ball, I think, what, four times in that game? It wasn't a whole lot. And we asked Clark Lee last week about, you know, getting the receivers more involved, like guys like McGowan, guys like Shepard. How do you get them more involved? Well, this move certainly did that with Shepard. 10 catches, 171 yards, two touchdowns. He was awesome on Saturday. And that guy is – we had somebody ask earlier if, like, Shepard can be an NFL player. I think for sure he can be an NFL player.
Yes, 6'3", 200, moves like that. He can go up and just physically beat people for the ball. No, I think that Will Shepard is going to be playing on Sunday someday. I don't know if that's going to be next year. He's a, you know, third-year junior, but he's really good. Ray Davis is really good. You know, their offensive line dominated up front, as you would hope that you could do, and they were banged up, but they were as you would hope that you could do against a MAC team. But, again, you're talking about the defending MAC champs, a team that I think is going to be very good in that league this year too. You know, the defense, as bad as you can be through four possessions, and then just flipped it around and made a bunch of plays. So I'd say overall, through four games, obviously 3-1 is probably about best case scenario, but overall I'd say, you know, it's just been overachieving as a team through four games, and I think that South Carolina and Missouri, two games ahead on the SEC schedule, that Vanderbilt would have a chance to win.
So where do you go from here? What does it mean from here? Because now you've made the switch to A.J. Swan. I mean, look, with the way he played Saturday, he's going to start against Alabama coming up this weekend. So we'll see how he performs there. But you do have Mike Wright that's played, other than the Wake Forest game, I think pretty well for Vanderbilt so far this year. Like, Ken Seals is just – he's going to be somewhere else, I think, at this point when it comes to his place in the quarterback discussion. But, you know, as you pointed out earlier, A.J. Swan was recruited by Clark Lee. Mike Wright and Ken Seals were not. Not that that means everything, but that is, I think, a factor when we start to talk about the quarterback room for Vanderbilt right now.
Yeah. No question. At some point that comes into play. Just didn't think it would come into play this early. I mean, this is – again, it's a really interesting situation. This is – now that I'm thinking about it, I'd love anyone to tell me if they can recall something like this, where if it's as simple as Clark Lee laid it out Saturday, which is after Wednesday practice made the switch, that just doesn't happen much. Again, sometimes there are open competitions and you're like, you may go back and forth late in the week and like, okay, we're going with this guy, or someone's hurt or something like that. Someone did say, told me that they saw Mike Wright limping a little bit, but I didn't hear any talk of that after the game, so It's a gutsy move. And, of course, another thing I got from Vanderbilt fans after the game is, okay, who's coming to get it? A.J. Swan.
Well, Nick Saban's going to get a good look at him on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Bryce Young be gone after this year?
There's one, and that's another thing I got. It's like, don't play him against Bama.
Yeah.
Don't play him against Georgia, which I took as like, don't get him hurt.
Yeah.
But maybe it's also like, don't let those guys see him, you know?
Like they'll find him if they really want him.
Yeah.
I think it'd be like Aaron Murray in the Tennessee game. Just spend the whole broadcast talking about where the quarterback that's currently on a team is going to play next year.
Yeah. Yeah. The Akron Zips Nation really appreciated that.
Yeah,
Aaron
they
Murray,
did. You know? Sure, they did.
I hope they're all over Aaron Murray this week.
I'm sure that they are. But it's a great debut for A.J. Swan. Look, the kid, some of the throws he made for a freshman, I was watching and I was just like, wow, just great throws. And he's got a heck of an arm. He's a really talented kid. Now, to your point, he is a freshman. So at some point, probably this week, you're going to run into adversity, especially based on who your quality of opponent is. Coming up this week against Alabama, so you know I guess that's the next step is how do he and the Doors handle that. The other part of this game that we're not talking about a lot today because of how well A.J. Swan played, Vanderbilt ran the ball well. I mean, Ray Davis, 23 carries, 116 yards, 5 yards a pop, one touchdown. Chase Gillespie, 4-8 a pop. Offensive line looked pretty good on Saturday.
Yeah. Now, how many games ahead are they going to have that kind of advantage?
Very few.
Not many, if any. You know, Missouri. I'll just keep saying the same teams. Missouri, South Carolina, probably those two games you have a chance. And a lot of the other games, you know, you're gonna have to smoke and mirrors a little bit, and you're not going to be able to run right at people. But, hey, good for them for being able to run right at that team and doing it and executing it. I mean, they've gotten better. You know, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt they got better during the course of last season, Clark Lee's first year. I mean, you can't get worse than the opener.
You cannot.
But they've gotten, like, what he thought he saw in the offseason in terms of just the overall growth, I think we're seeing it on the field. And, you know, 2.5 over-under, what if they double that?
That'd be pretty good.
Look,
and I know the quality of competition has been different for the two teams I'm about to mention. Missouri looks really bad. South Carolina looks bad, too. Now, Saturday was – it is what it is. It's Georgia. But even before that, I mean, they didn't look great against Arkansas. Even the game they won to begin the season, I can't remember who – I think it was Georgia Southern. They didn't look great in that game either. So, I think Vanderbilt very much has the chance to end up at 5 wins this year. I don't know if I'd give them much of a chance in any other game besides that. But I think – they got a chance for to win five games.
I agree. Shane Beamer, is he a goober?
I think he's a little bit of a goober.
Because I was, you know, kind of buying in to him going into the season, and now I'm less buying into him.
I think he's a little bit of a goober. Well, first off, Georgia looks pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yes.
They look very good.
They're the best team, period.
I think there's no question about it, but – the Beamer hype. I bought in. I think he's a fun guy. I don't think there's any question about that. But not going great for him so far in his second year. Spencer Rattler is not good.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's just not very good.
No,
this happens.
It does. But you know, there was so much hope for him at Oklahoma, and then it just totally went down the toilet.
I mean, when the season started a year ago, a lot of people had him as the number one overall pick.
They did.
So keep that in mind.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and Bills coming up next. What is the roadmap to victory for the Titans in this game? We'll get Joe's thoughts on that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Rookie's played such a big role for you week one, despite going on the road and also primetime Monday night. How much do you expect from them week two and also to build off what they did for your first game?
Well, I mean, the expectations are the same for every player, whether it's a first-year player or a 10th-year player. It's the
to make sure that they understand the keys, that they're playing with effort and they're doing things that we ask them to do each and every week. And so that wouldn't change whether you're a rookie or a veteran.
That was Mike Vrabel looking ahead to the matchup tonight between the Bills and the Titans. Going to be an interesting matchup from an injury standpoint. Dontrell Hilliard out tonight for the Titans with a hamstring injury. Christian Fulton out tonight with a hamstring as well for the Titans. So especially, Joe, on the defensive side of the ball with one of your starting corners out. How the Titans handle that, how they deploy Caleb Farley, who's matched up against Diggs. A lot of questions tonight on the defensive side of the ball at the corner position that I'm interested to see, but not a great start to have Christian Fulton out of the game tonight with a hamstring. And as we talked about last week, those hamstrings can linger. So hopefully he can get over that as soon as possible. But interested to see Buffalo tonight too. Gabe Davis got hurt late in the week last week, was limited on Saturday at Bills practice, and is questionable in this game with an ankle injury. So Gabe Davis has been a guy that, you know, kind of had his coming out party in the AFC divisional game last year against Kansas City, which, by the way, I think you and me and about five guests that we've had in the last 3 weeks have called the Bills-Chiefs game the AFC title game, and it wasn't. Just want to point that out. But
that is a good
it was
point.
The divisional game, and Gabe Davis was really good in that game, and he has been a touchdown machine for Josh Allen over the last six, 7 games dating back to last year.
Yeah, that would be a big loss for them. Christian Fulton is a big loss for the Titans. Dontrell Hilliard is nothing to sneeze at, but I think Hassan Haskins can come in and do a fine job. They drafted Hassan Haskins to, you know, obviously contribute and maybe have a big role down the road, but this is a big game for him. Obviously a huge game for Caleb Farley. You know, an interesting little stats here, little factoids, little true media stuff for you. Josh Allen against the Rams, 74.2% of his throws, 2.5 seconds or less. That's the highest rate of any game in his career. That's also helped the Bills allow the third lowest pressure rate of week one, which is 18.4%. Now, I assume that has something to do with the guy inside they were taking on, right?
I would assume
I think
so.
A lot of people think that way. They know how fast he gets from point A to point B. I'm talking about Aaron Donald. And they got out fast. And there was a lot of, I thought, effective checking down from Josh Allen in that game. And I do wonder if it'll be the same kind of thing tonight. Another interesting factoid on that. The other side of the ball. They played zone 92.4% of the game against the Rams. That is a high number of zone. So is that basically just what they are? People brought up the young corners earlier on the text line, and that the Titans need to take advantage of that. But whatever they're in, you know, you got to try to take advantage of that. And that's why, to me, if they're going to do that, you get the ball out quickly. If they're going to do that, you put Austin Hooper in those soft spots. I know that he's good at finding those spots. I've seen it, and I think he can be effective. I mean, that could be a guy who, if that's how they're going to play it tonight, could be like a 8-catch for 83-yard game for Austin Hooper.
Here we go.
There's you go. Called shot.
Here we go.
8 catches, 83 yards. Like, it's got to happen. They've got to look for him, find him. You know, look, I wasn't as bothered as some people by, like, Jeff Swain being targeted. Like, one of them was a designed tight end screen.
I was bothered.
A little bit of a curveball. I mean, look, you know, you throw to who's open. Unfortunately, Swain let one of those passes hit him in the face rather than catch it. But, you know, I'm not bothered by that, but I am bothered by the lack of targets for Hooper and Woods in that game.
Well, and, Joe, to that point, like the zone defense, you're right, that's an incredibly high number from Buffalo's defense of playing zone. But, I mean, when you can rush four and get to the quarterback as quickly as they got to Matt Stafford last week, you know, just sitting back in coverage and trying to pick a few off, which, by the way, they did. It's look, that's something that you're able to do when you've got that pass rush. So really the key of the game to me offensively for the Titans is what we talked about all last week. Can you protect the quarterback? Like, can you give him some time to throw the ball? Because Matt Stafford basically had no time last week. Now, he made some plays to Cooper Kupp, and it wasn't like they were totally inept at moving the football. But Buffalo's pass rush was really good. Can the Titans hold their own against that pass rush tonight? If they can, then I think they'll move the football. If they can't, it may be a long night.
Yeah, and I do expect, you know, Von Miller to line up across from the rookie a lot, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and I expect the Titans to help and to let Taylor Lewan handle his business on the other side a lot. I mean, I think that's got to be the formula for success. Can't, you know, you're going to help them both, and you got like two people going out for passes, so you got to you got to be able to rely on your highly paid left tackle to play well. He's off the injury report. He's active. He banged up his knee last week, but that's a big, big key to this game. If there's one person in this game you could pick for the Titans to have like a huge game, you know, career type game, who would it be?
That's a great question because there's a couple of different guys that come to mind. I mean, honestly, I think my answer is Tannehill. Quarterback, because it's the quarterback. But
Tannehill throw about 450 and five touchdowns. Well,
tutties. I think Corey Curtis brought up a great point earlier. Like, Jeffrey Simmons is the type of guy that can wreck a game. And if he has like a Sunday night against LA type performance tonight,
yeah, that's who I was
thinking of. How much could that help what you're trying to get done defensively? Right. I think a lot.
Yeah, like a four sack, but constant pressure night from Simmons.
I mean, I thought about Derrick Henry, but the more I think about it, I think Simmons might be my answer. Yeah. Like, you got to find a way to slow down that offense. It's been so hard to do. They've punted the ball. They hadn't punted in game four of the last six games. That's still, the more I think
that's
about
absurd.
That, that is maybe the craziest stat I've heard of in NFL history. Four out of six games.
Not punting the ball. Just not punting.
Jeez.
I mean, it's obviously the era of a lot more going for it on fourth down than there used to be. Like, in the NFL, sure. It used to be like, fourth and one at the opposing 48, of course you're punting, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore, but man, four whole games?
It's nuts.
Outrageous.
Dennis on the text line says, good or bad, this game will probably end up being remembered as, quote, the Caleb Farley game. Maybe. He's going to play a big role tonight.
Could be. Yeah, well, look, it's a big, big game for him. Now, I believe it was actually against them last year he got hurt, right? But, you know, even at that point, he was getting out there a little bit. They were banged up. I think they were missing Fulton in the last game, right?
I think so.
So Fulton misses this game, which is not good. But no doubt that Caleb Farley is one of the biggest individual storylines of the night.
Kenneth on the text line says, has to be Tannehill for the one Titans player to have the biggest game. Wes in Clarksville says Henry for 200 yards.
Well, again, so the way I asked it, like if it's a career type of game. If either of those guys has a career type of game, then it's a monster game, right? So,
like, think about if Derrick Henry having a career game. What does that mean?
like if you pick like Westbrook Akine, that could be like five catches for 70 yards. You know, like, that's not your answer.
Derrick Henry's career game would be like, I don't know, 35 carries for 312 yards and four touchdowns.
I think that might do it.
Yeah, that'd be scary.
Yeah, okay.
And they only lose 48-45.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I do like – the thing with Henry is if he does have some monster game, then that's just another – like that's maybe a possession or two. The Bills don't have the ball, which is very beneficial for your chances of beating them.
Well, somebody brought up on the text line earlier time of possession, right? I mean
– It matters in this game.
It matters in this game. And I mean, not all games are created equal. Like if you're the Titans – obviously, you want to move the ball and score points because you're going to need to score some points to win this game. But you also, the more you can keep Josh Allen off the field, better off you're probably going to be if you're the Titans. So, you know, time of possession is not everything, and it won't be everything tonight. There are some situational elements where you're going to need to execute well. But it'd be great if you could string together a couple, like, you know, 6.5, 7-minute drives tonight, take some time off the clock, and finish them off with touchdowns. That'd be a pretty good formula for success.
Red zone and turnovers.
As we pointed out earlier, if the Titans can score more points than Buffalo does tonight, they'll probably be all right at the end of the game.
That'd probably make one of my top three keys.
That'd probably be right there on the list.
At least third.
By the way, shout out to TD, who is apparently pre-gaming right now at Niagara Falls.
Oh,
out there on a boat.
There you go. Oh, he's out on a boat?
Yeah, he's on like a ferry.
It's incredible.
TD living his best life.
This is like Jim and Pam getting married.
615. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans and Bills coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. And you don't have to be at a game to enjoy football this fall. We got a little Monday night football action tonight, two games. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. Tennessee is an underdog tonight in Buffalo, favored by 10 points. I'm going to take Tennessee and the points. Also, we've got the Vikings in Philadelphia. Give me the Eagles, -2.5. Start placing your bets now. Superbook has lines up for every pro game for the rest of the season, plus which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise in the SEC this year. Get in on some futures, wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands. Now Superbook will match 100% of your first bets up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get in on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your final thoughts on the Titans and the Bills tonight. Monday Night Football, which, by the way, I think we've said this a couple of times. I'll repeat it now. I hate that they're doing two Monday night games tonight. Cannot stand it.
What the heck?
Going at the, basically, I mean, it's not the same time, but by the time the game starts for Minnesota, it will be at the same time. So,
no,
don't
I
like
hate
it.
In fact, I don't even know. What are the two networks?
Is it ESPN and ABC?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I believe
so. No, don't make them conflict with each other. I'm excited about both of these games. And, you know, they do the double headers on Monday night sometimes, and that's fine. Once a year, but for the most part.
Well, Monday night football. Why is this week two? Should this not be a week one thing?
Yeah.
When you're doing this?
I don't know. They're trying different stuff. Yeah, you know what they're headed toward.
Oh, I know.
They're headed toward just blanket coverage every night. Not quite every night, but you know what I mean.
Wednesday night football.
Sure. Sure, why not? Friday?
18 games.
Friday night football. I agree with Big Joe, by the way. Big Joe Dubin. College, pros, stay away from Friday night.
Yeah, can we stop with these weird college football games on Friday night?
It won't stop, but I hate it. Garbage. But yes, tonight, yeah, so it is. It's, yeah, ESPN and the Deuce for the Titans. ABC for the Vikings Eagles.
By the way, local feed here on Fox 17 as well. Has been pointed out in the text line.
And no Manning cast. So,
Peyton hates the Titans. Yeah. He didn't do Titans-Bills last year.
Yeah,
not doing Titans-Bills tonight. Like, Titans-Bills is a pretty good Monday night game. They've done some awful Monday night games before.
Does Peyton hate, like, Ryan Tannehill or something? He doesn't want to, like, comment on his – I mean, after last week, Peyton – actually not being able to control his disgust for Nathaniel Hackett.
Does he think that, like, Eli will press him on how close he actually became to becoming a Tennessee Titan? Is that why he won't do it? I don't know.
Maybe. Or is he already packing up the Winnebago and driving to Knoxville right now? I mean, there's that, too.
I hope not. Gracious. Aaron on the text line says, I would like to see them let Tannehill run a few times. A couple of first down read options might help Henry get loose as well. It's from Aaron.
I don't hate it.
They have they've not been afraid in the past to let Ryan Tannehill take off every now and then.
I would absolutely lean in on anything you can do with Tannehill's athleticism. How about a little Malik Willis? A little Malik Willis trick play or two?
Do you think we'll see him in a package tonight?
No, I don't know.
I vote no.
Every week we're gonna ask that question going into
I think at some point we'll see him this year in some sort of, I don't know if it'll be goal line, red zone, or whatever, but I think we'll see him at some point this year. I don't think it'll be tonight, but you never know.
You don't know. I don't know. There's something about Joe Milton that just threw me off. Sorry. Will from Nashville says what? Obviously being a little feast. Oh, Milton. Yeah, okay. Oh, Joe Milton because he's going to play because they're going to blow out the Gators. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
So.
I got a text that says Derrick Henry won't break 100 tonight. I am really interested to see, not necessarily the stat line, although it's important, But how does Henry look running the football tonight? Can they get anything done in the run and blocking game against this defensive front against Buffalo? But, you know, just watching him run the ball, his cuts, his explosiveness, how does he look? And what are we talking about with Derrick Henry come tomorrow morning? That's going to be something that that I'll be monitoring pretty closely tonight.
Yeah, it's him, of course. I mean, he's such an obvious key to the whole season for the Titans. And I don't, you know, we got into a lot of discussion about him last week. Like I said, main takeaway, open mind. Let's see. I thought there was a little bit of lacking explosives. To that point, let me go back to True Media for you. His EPA, that's expected points added per rush, was -0.27. That's the ninth worst performance he's had since 2018 when he became, you know, Derrick Henry. So, but again, stats to me, that's secondary to just how he looks running the football. But then also, there's just the offensive line, both run blocking and pass blocking, run blocking without Roger Saffold against a really talented front, and then, of course, protecting Tannehill. This will be the test. Last week, they got a nice warm-up game, you know, against the Giants, and they performed well, I thought, for the most part. I think Petit Frere had a good debut, but it is a totally different type of deal tonight.
I got some rapid-fire questions for you. You ready?
Okay.
All right, Treylon Burks, over or under 50% of the snaps tonight offensively?
Under.
Okay.
But it was close.
Okay.
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be right around that.
Austin Hooper, over, under, 4.5 catches.
Over.
Ooh.
I just said 8 for 83, man. I called
know,
shot.
But dude, that's pretty
quick
good.
Over. He's got to be a big part of the game.
Okay, today. Robert Woods, over, under, 3.5 catches.
Over. I think both of those guys, you're going to see more what we saw in the preseason, which, of course, the Colts are invalidating the entire preseason, by the way. But
Yeah. Over, under, 4.5 sacks allowed for the Titans tonight. Bills had 7 last week. 4.5 is the number I'm setting.
Yeah, well, that's a good over-under. I'll say over. I think they're going to allow 5 sacks.
Can they win the game if they allow 5 sacks?
Yeah, but they probably won't. But, yeah, they
all
can.
Right. Our final score predictions tonight. So we did weekend winners over the weekend, which, by the way, it's going well so far.
Yeah, well, you know.
The Steelers and the Bengals, I swear.
It's going well.
You and I are both stinking right now, Michelle.
Final score predictions for the Titans and the Bills tonight. Joe, you can go first.
Well, I think I set a final score Friday, and now I'm trying to remember what it was. I'm going to go Bills 31, Titans 24.
Okay.
I think the Titans give them a good game, but ultimately lose by a touchdown.
I will go Bills 27, Titans 17. Said they'd lose by 10, so I'll go 27-17. Michelle, your final score for the Bills and the Titans?
Tennessee 27, Bills 24.
There we go. Vrabel special. Yeah, I tell you what, if they win this game tonight, which, look, I won't be shocked if they win. I'll be surprised if they win, but I will not be shocked. The Vrabel special conversation that we're going to have tomorrow of just the how does this continue to happen. It's going to be pretty awesome.
It will be, but you know what else? If they do win this game, then all the Titans fans today who are laughing at the Colts, now you can really
laugh. Because
you're kind of waiting for the other shooter to drop on your team, right?
Yeah.
Your team wins this game, and really tomorrow should just be totally tripling down on ripping the Colts.
By the way, I can't remember if it was Kiefer or who it was that pointed it out on Twitter. You know, Frank Reich does have a recent contract extension that he signed, so.
Jim Irsay, tear that. Jim Irsay's out there
just
buying.
Tear that thing up.
He's buying like Jimmy Page guitars for like $8 million. He doesn't care.
That is true. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow to recap the Titans and the Bills. Looking forward to some Monday Night Football tonight. Chase Willie and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.